thanking our pastor, Brother Chick.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Turn with me this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. And I want to see if you can recognize something that runs parallel with the age in which we live. I want to begin reading in verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil and olives and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those whose hills they diggeth brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Verse 11, beware that you forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou have is multiplied, then thy hearts be lifted up, and thou forgettest the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Shall we pray? Father, as in the book of Deuteronomy, and as we see the blessings that the nation of Israel received, we see in our promised land those very things that they had. And we know it's because of your blessing and your hand being over the United States. Father, lest we forget about thy goodness, help us to be appreciative of that which you've given. For Lord, even our poor are rich above all the other nations of the world. This morning, not only did you provide all of our physical and materialistic needs, but you blessed us spiritually. Now, as we study your word, help us to pay close attention to what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our text this morning, I believe Moses was describing our promised land. Truly, in America, we have all of these benefits. And isn't that true? And the people said, we better start over again. And the people said, can you not see what we have in considering the rest of the world? You see, that's the problem we have. We forget to say amen at the right time when we know God has richly blessed us. Yes, indeed, God has blessed an America. And I'm so thankful that I was privileged to be born in the USA. I love that song that Randy sang at the beginning of the service. It's been an honor to be there as a child of the United States of America. I hope we never forget where all of these wonderful blessings come from. Have we? I hope not. You say, but I don't have it as good as some. but you have more than most. And we need to remember that. We have more than most. And so when we think about this, I believe most of us know that all these good and perfect gifts came from our Heavenly Father. We need to help each other and not forget these blessings are from a great God. In the world in which we live, people in almost every country would love to live in the United States. I can understand how, even though it's unlawful to enter our country wrongfully, if I lived in somewhere else, I indeed would try to come to America legally and lawfully, and probably, if not possible, illegally. I know it's only right that they enter properly, but we have so much, and the world has so little. And so I'm going to try to tell you this morning that we need to remember and to keep this subject of being appreciative of what you have. How many of you were born in America? That's great. You say, well, Brother Chick, why are you asking that? Well, you think about the world. I was watching a program the other day, and it was talking about border wars, and my heart goes out to those folks who want to come to America, and I welcome them. I want them to be here, and I understand that they need to come lawfully. I know they need to come lawfully, and I know that America cannot take care of the entire world, but it doesn't stop me from wishing that we could. And so the things we take for granted sometimes are those things which the rest of the world has never had, never seen, and never enjoyed. Now we have something else in America, and I believe that God has laid His hand on America. We have something else that much of the world doesn't have, and that's why we send missionaries. They don't have the privilege of the free worship and the knowledge of God's great gift to man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our missionaries go across the globe trying to reach the lost, trying to help those who know not Jesus Christ, because you see, they're still in bonds, and I'm not talking about governments. I'm talking about they're still in bonds to Satan. Satan has them fettered and has them chained, and they have no possibility without help to be delivered. And so this morning, I want us to stop and think about how dependent, even though with all the liberties that we have, how we are so dependent upon the God of America. In the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible tells us probably the greatest of all liberties and privileges we have, that we are completely dependent upon our eternal salvation, is from God. Dr. Luke wrote these words some 2,000 years ago. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that's why you and I that are Christians here this morning, even in our land of opportunity, we have thousands and millions of people who have never heard the story of salvation, who are still staggering in darkness and stumbling in darkness, because no one's ever really shared the plan of salvation with them. They don't know how to get saved. They know how to maybe go to a church or begin to be a part of a religion. But you see, there's more to it. Because if they don't have the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away sin, they have nothing. And so you and I here at home, we as the missionaries on the foreign fields, have millions of people that need to be reached. And you say, well, that's true, Brother Chick, but we need to start in Enid, Oklahoma. First in our Jerusalem to carry the message, to let them know that there's good news in America today, even though the press and all the news media paint things dark and dreary. Brother, there's still light in America. Our Christ is the light of this world. And then secondly, we need to remember that we're completely dependent upon God for our Christian freedom and privileges. I mentioned this some weeks ago. One of our missionary couples down in Mexico lost their lives. The drug cartel down there, because of their stand for Christ and because they were putting pressure through the local government on the cartel and the drugs and the murderings and all the other things happened, they were traveling in their pickup to go to a service, and their henchmen came and filled their truck with bullets. And both he and his wife lost their lives for the cause of Christ. You say, Brother Chick, what's going to happen? They'll have a martyr's crown in heaven. But you know, you and I that live in America, if we don't stand strong, this could happen here. It can happen in our town. We already have a drug factor in our town that's already frightening our citizens. And we say to ourselves, well, we don't need to worry because we're in church, but you just remember this one thing. The true New Testament church stands against sin. And what they're doing is sin. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we take very strong stand that they'll have the threats and maybe even see our buildings burned as they are in foreign countries. And so we need to understand and remember that we are dependent upon God for our freedom and our liberties to worship. And not just to know that we can worship, but it's a privilege to worship. And when it comes time to worship, you and I that are Christians here this morning, we ought to set aside those things which would keep us from running the race that God's given us to run and to be found faithful in the house of God. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you thrilled with the privilege of religion and freedom of religion to know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior? You know, if we don't protect it, we'll lose it. I'm thinking of what Christ did. Christ said these words, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Many of us here this morning know the true meaning of that. We're unshackled from the bonds of hell and the chains of hell, and we now have the Lord Jesus Christ, the great loving Savior in our heart. And we know for us to be absent from this body would be to be present with the Lord. So without Christ, we would still be enslaved by Satan. So indeed, Christ has set us free. All the great privileges that we have as Christians and enjoy this morning came about through Calvary. I like the book of Psalms when I read, especially this time of the year. In Psalms chapter 68, verse 19, let's see what it says. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free. You say, wow, that's almost what Jesus said. Isn't that true? It does make us free. And then thirdly, this morning, we are completely dependent upon God in our relationship to our life hereafter, the rapture, and the eternal grace that we have in Christ Jesus. My wife has been real interested in an event that took place in the early part of June. And this morning she came back to the bedroom where I was still sleeping and woke me, and she said, honey, they found her. And she's been so concerned, and she keeps asking me, have you seen anything, heard anything? Well, we know one thing. Life is as a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanishes away. And they said, honey, you know what happened to her? I said, no. Did they find her? Yes, they found her. But she swerved off the road. Maybe you haven't been keeping up with this. But she swerved off the road and went through high weeds, and her car went down into a stream and turned upside down, and they found her. She's gone. You know, if something happens to you and I that are saved here this morning, it would be a calamity to those that love us. I'm sure her family is brokenhearted. But for you and I that are saved here this morning, even in spite of the doom and gloom that would set in because of the loss of the loved one's life, there's a hope. And there's a joy. And there's a sweetness. And as I said a few minutes ago, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And you say, well, Brother Chick, I've got a long life ahead of me. Well, maybe you do and maybe you don't. And I'm not a defeatist by any means. I'm not derogatory in my thoughts. But I know this one thing. We need to be prepared for eternity. And you know, John said something to the Christian that I take to my heart, and I hope if you're saved here this morning that you'll take to your heart. John was telling that early church, he said, and when he shall appear, and we know he's coming again. Well, some of you at least believe it. Maybe we better start again. Are you mesmerized this morning? We believe he's coming again. Yeah, that's a whole lot better. And you say, well, Brother Chick, I'm listening. I know you are. But you know, once in a while, we need to rejoice. And the word amens means so be it. And John said that when he shall appear, that we should not be ashamed. And so you and I, as Christians here this morning, we have an opportunity not to be ashamed, whether he calls us home through the valley of the shadow of death or whether he raptures us out. If we're found doing what he's asked us to do, we have an eternal hope. We have an eternal glory. We have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because we're a child of the King. Nothing's sweeter and nothing's more precious than the taste of the living water, the taste of the bread of life. Nothing's grander. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and this is a verse that you don't hear read very often, but it has so much meat to it that you and I and Christians, we ought to remember it. He said, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God which raiseth the dead. And you know that? That's my hope. That's my trust. And that's my joy. Well, I know that I'm just a cat's whisker away from death. One heartbeat, one breath. Why, you say, Brother Chick, we don't even like to think about that. Well, we have to be realistic as Christians, and we understand it can happen. But he said, not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death. What do you mean by that, Brother Chick? To be without Christ means hell and the lake of fire. That's a great death. To be separated from God for eternity. Never to know the joys of the new heaven and the new earth. And then I like the next phrase he put in, and doth deliver. That speaks of present tense. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here today without Jesus in your heart, I've got some good news for you. He's still delivering. He's still delivering people from hell. Almost every Sunday we see somebody saved at these altars. And every Sunday that means God has delivered somebody from eternal damnation. Brother, that's something to rejoice in. And that's something to be thankful for. And that's something to praise God for. Because every soul that gets saved means there's one less in hell and one less in the great lake of fire. All because of Jesus. And so today he stands ready to deliver today. Dear friend, if you here this morning without Jesus, I want to tell you something. You're not here by accident. You're here because God wanted you here. And you're here because he wants you to have an opportunity to be saved and not have to go out in eternity without Christ Jesus. He wants you out of hell and out of the lake of fire. And by the way, so do I. And by the way, so does every born-again Christian in this room today. We want you in heaven with us and not in the lake of fire. That's for sure. And doth deliver. Whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Well, that's for you and I that are Christians that are still here this morning. How many of you are alive? Brother Tom, you got your hand up? No, you didn't get your hand up. Tom, you are. Let's do this again. Maybe some of you are not aware of what happened. How many of you are still alive? Well, that's good. Even Tom finally got his hand up. All right, sure, we're alive. You say, well, what does that mean to us, Brother Chick, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us? I'm not planning on hell. Trevor, I'm planning on heaven. I'm not planning on the lake of fire. I'm knowing that my God is going to deliver me. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that, what? My soul to him that I've committed unto him against that day. What day is that, Brother Chick? Either through the valley of death, or bless God, wouldn't it be wonderful through the rapture? You know, sometimes ago I told you folks this. You know, I believe if everything keeps going the way it is, there's a strong possibility of me being alive when the rapture takes place. You say, well, you've had some close calls. Yeah, but you know, when you're still home base, you might have a close call, but if you score, you're still there. Amen? Yeah, you're still there. And there's been a few times I've had to steal home base, but I'm still here. And you know what? I still say the same thing. I believe if everything keeps working, and what doesn't work, we put new parts in. Yeah, I got so many new parts in me, I know when the rapture takes place, there's going to be a pile of junk laying on the ground. But I'll tell you one thing. I know that if my Lord comes, I know I'm going to go be with him. Man, that's sweet. Man, that's great. And this morning, if you're here lost, you can have that same hope if you'll just let Jesus come into your heart. He will yet deliver us. He's never going to fail us. I want to close this morning with the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. And I want you to turn in your Bibles with me. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The Apostle Paul told Timothy this, "For the which cause I suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." We must not forget, on this July 1, the time when we come to celebrate our independence and our liberties, you and I as Christians and you and I as Americans must never forget, nor should it ever leave our hearts and minds, that God has been good to the USA. That we have found the truth and we've been set free. And if you're lost, this morning the truth waits for you at these altars. One of our counselors will take the word of God and show you how to be saved. Shall we stand?